remember when my parents brought me up to Pilgrim Camp. I was about 4 years old, and my sisters were just born. They were a few months old. And I didn't understand a whole lot then at 4 years old. But we didn't come back until I was about 17. And I remember that everything looked the same except it shrunk. I remember at 4 years old in the boathouse, I'd look up at the counter, and now I could look down. And Watch Rock was like a big cliff to me, I remember. And now it was just Watch Rock. And I remember my dad and I and my brother, we stayed in, I guess it's Brewster. And we looked out the window. It looked like such a big drop. Now I see it's not as bad as I thought it was. And so camp has very much stayed the same, but in its physical appearance, except for the fact that I have gotten a little bigger. Well, I've stopped growing a long time ago, and so now everything just remains as it is. But when my parents took us up here at 17 years old, I don't know what they had in mind. Maybe they looked at me and my brother and thought, you know, we better make one more effort. and I guess they did the right thing, because the Lord really met me here at camp. The God began to do something in my life at that time, and coming up to camp was just what I needed. And one thing that I loved about camp was that there was an emphasis here that I hadn't heard so much in my home church. It was a good church. I found the Lord there and was growing in the Lord. But there was an emphasis in camp about not so much me seeking God, but God seeking me. And not only about me loving God, but about God loving me. And sometimes we'd be in the meeting and Brother Gardner would say something like, you know, the Lord is more desirous to have you than you are to have him. And the Lord is seeking you even before you ever thought about seeking him. And that was something a bit new to me. Perhaps they said those things in church, but somehow at camp, it just went into my heart. And that so encouraged me then to seek God, because I thought, if God wants me more than I want him, then if I'll just begin to seek him, I know that'll draw me closer to him, because he'll pursue me then. And if he wants me and loves me and desires me like that, then I ought to seek him. I'd be foolish not to. And that just drew me to him. And that light has gotten into my soul, and then I returned home. And I remember returning home from camp. I've said it before, I felt so homesick for Pilgrim Camp. It was a strange thing. But I remember going home, and when I got home, I began to weep. I tried to hide that. I don't think anybody knew that was going on. I tried to get alone in my room, and just I wanted to get to prayer. I wanted to tell Jesus that I missed him, that I wanted him in my life the way I felt him at camp. And that was the way the Lord gets us to seek him. He gives us a taste of something, and then maybe he withdraws that sense of his presence, because maybe we're not ready to live in his presence in that way just yet. There's some things we have to learn and about faith and so on. But because we've tasted the Lord and experienced him like that, we're never satisfied to go back to the way we were. We have to seek him again and keep seeking him until we find him again. And you know, that's sort of like the Song of Solomon. That's an interesting book in the Bible. And my attention has been drawn to it again recently. And so I've been reading it over and over. And then I've been taking some time to take a little passage and meditate on it and pray over it. And there's a lot I don't understand in the Song of Solomon, some of the imagery and so on. But there's enough to understand that makes you to see that this is a very precious experience that God wants to bring us into. Some people have said in things that I've read that the Song of Solomon should never be in the Bible. And then the defense is, well, if you talk that way, it's because it just shows you that you don't know anything about that intimate experience with the Lord, that relationship, you don't know that closeness that the writer was writing about. And the Song of Solomon speaks of an intimate relationship with God that God calls us to. Not everybody finds it, but those that seek Him in that way, He is very desirous to reveal Himself to us and to make us to know Him in that intimate way. And another thing that was said about that book was that God put that book in the Bible because those that do find God in that very precious way, that they find themselves speaking of Him in such intimate terms. And they're tempted to think, how dare I say such things about my relationship with God? And then I find in the Song of Solomon, it gives me license to do that. I can call Him my beloved because it's there in the Bible. And so my experience is valid. I see it there in the Word of God. And so as I read through the Song of Solomon again and again, I found that whether I understood everything or not, it did something again to revive in me a yearning to know Him like that, a yearning to come closer to Jesus and closer than many people do, that God has a relationship with us that maybe the casual seeker doesn't know very much about or may never know anything about. But those that really want Jesus, God begins to open their eyes and show them, you can have as much of Jesus as you want. You can get as close to Him as you desire to. And there is a place where you can know Him in such intimacy and such fellowship that it's beyond our wildest dreams, if you can say it that way. And there's just one little passage there. I wanted to read a couple verses. And it says here in the second chapter, O my dove, verse 14, thou art in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the stairs. Let me see thy countenance, let me hear thy voice, for sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely. Then it goes on to say, take us the foxes, the little foxes, that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. It isn't unusual for me to say, Lord, let me see your face, and let me hear your voice. We are encouraged to come to meeting and to approach the Lord that way. Lord, open my eyes tonight. How many times have you prayed that when you've come to a gathering like this? Open my eyes. Let me see you, Jesus. Let me look into your wonderful, beautiful face. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His beautiful face. And we seek God like that. We say, Lord, let me see you. See who you really are, and give me a greater sight of yourself. And then we say, and then Lord, speak to me. Let me hear your voice in this meeting. Open my ears and let me hear what you have to say to me in the songs, in the testimonies, in the preaching. Lord, open my ears to hear your voice. But you know, here in the Song of Solomon, it appears that it's not the It's not the woman who is saying that to her beloved, but it's the beloved that is saying it to the woman or the lover. Let's see here. In other words, it's the bridegroom that's saying to his bride, let me see your face and let me hear your voice. It turns it around completely. And to take a moment to think about that, Jesus tonight is saying, I want to see your face. You're there in the cleft of the rocks. Come out, let me see you. Don't hide anything. Don't pretend to be something that you're not. Just let me see you. Open up to me. Let me see you as you really are. And let me hear your voice. He desires to hear my voice. He desires to hear my expressions of love to Him. He desires to hear the cry of my heart and the burdens that I have and so on. He desires to hear my praise. You know, when we try to encourage people in our church to praise the Lord, I often say, you know, nobody can praise the Lord for you. He wants to hear your voice. You have as much reason to praise him as the person next to you, and you ought to learn to just open your mouth and praise the Lord. Jesus longs to hear your voice. Nobody can love Jesus for you. That's something you have to do. And nothing can satisfy him like you loving him. Oh, and that's, of course, a very individual thing. But nobody can love Jesus for me either. He wants to hear me give expression to my love. He wants me to say, Jesus, I love you. Jesus, I praise you. And I worship you. And it's good for us to think about that often. Jesus wants to see my face. And so he says, come out from the cleft of the rocks there. You know, I can just step right out and I can present myself to him just as I am. I don't have to hide. I don't have to pretend. I can say, Lord, I just present myself to you. Lord, you know all about me. I open up every avenue of my soul to you. As we've heard this morning, I welcome you to gaze upon me and to minister to me as you see that I have need of. Isn't it wonderful to know you don't have to pretend with him? He knows all about you, and he loves you. Can't love you any more than he does. And so, it's so good that we can just come just as we are. And we can tell him all about our faults and our misgivings and all these things. And we know that's not going to change his love for us at all. But in confessing, we seem to open the way for Jesus to work in us and to manifest his love for us in a greater way. And he wants to hear my voice. He wants to hear my voice. He's interested in what I have to say, what's on my heart. And I have the privilege of communing with him like that. And then he says, you know, we have a tender relationship. Let's get rid of everything that interferes and interrupts our fellowship, and let's enter into sweeter, fuller communion. And so Jesus calls us to that, and I guess I first heard that call at Pilgrim Camp, and I still hear it. I still hear it from time to time. It grips me in a new way, and it just gets me to just seeking him like that again. It's so precious, and I'm so thankful that I ever heard that call of Jesus. I heard the King. He spoke to me, and with him came a blessing. Praise God. It's a beautiful song we like to sing, and it speaks there about hearing his voice and he wanting to have that fellowship with us. And so as I've been looking through the Song of Solomon, I've been trying to figure out, you know, when is the bridegroom speaking and when is the bride speaking, and sometimes that's a little bit hard to get a handle on, but I think I'm right in this particular that here the Lord is speaking to his child and saying, I want to see your face. I want to hear your voice. That's why he brings us together. We've often, right at the beginning of meetings like this, I've heard over the years, you've been looking forward to coming to camp to meet the Lord, to hear him. But you know, Jesus has been looking forward to these meetings much more than you have. He's been looking for this opportunity to get close to you, to hear your voice, to see your face, to bring you into fellowship with him. And just to think about that warms your heart, and it puts a seeking spirit in you, and you find that you can never be satisfied. Once you get a sight of Jesus like that and experience a touch of God like that in your soul, you can never be happy to go back again to what you once knew of him. But there's a yearning in your heart. Lord, I want to know you like that all the time. I've tasted something so precious that, Lord, I don't believe you're teasing me. I don't believe you've touched me in that way so that I might never have it again and I may search for it and never find it. But, Lord, you're trying to awaken me to something more precious than I now possess. And so, Lord, bring me into that. Teach me your ways and help me to believe you, to perfect in me that union that you have brought me into. Praise God.
Near my child, I sent John into my room to get me the words to a song that goes along with what Brother Kenny was talking about. Brother Dan, would you play Be Still My Soul in 2 flats instead of 3, please? They find it in one of the hymn books. It's quite a tall order, isn't it? Thank you. I knew you could do it. I sought the Lord, and afterward I knew He moved my soul to seek Him, seeking me. It was not I that found, O Savior true. No, I was found, no, I was found of Thee. Thou didst reach forth Thy hand and mine enfold. I walked and sank not on the storm-vexed sea. 'Twas not so much that I on Thee took hold, as Thou, dear Lord, as Thou, dear Lord, on me. I find I walk, I love, but oh, the whole of love is but my answer, Lord, to Thee. For Thou wert long beforehand with my soul. Always Thou lovest, lovest me. I know that my Redeemer liveth, and on the earth again shall stand. Thy Lord, eternal life He giveth, and praise in heaven, our English land. I know that Jesus liveth, and on the earth again shall stand. faileth the word he speaks. It cannot die, though cruel death my flesh assaileth, yet I shall see him by and by. I know that Jesus liveth, and on the earth again shall stand. I know that life he giveth, that grace and power are in his hand. I know I know that Jesus liveth, and on the earth again shall stand. I know that life he giveth, that grace and power are in his hand. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, wonderful Jesus, 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 Jesus. I love these Easter songs. I like this one especially that we just sang. I think of Job. That's one of the earliest writings that we have, not just in the Bible, but that we have at all in the world. And there, way back then, God had put something into that man's heart that gave him that assurance, that word of faith. That came from heaven, didn't it? Where he had this light, I know that my Redeemer lives. I know that my Redeemer lives. And though worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. I know I'll see him, not another. I'll see him here. In the flesh I'll see him. Praise the Lord. And I like this one too. Jesus rose a victor o'er the grave. He lives exalted. Now to save, he lives to guide me with his eye. He lives to, does that come first, or plead my cause on high? He lives to bring me, I think that comes first. When we sing it, it'll come. He lives to bring me to the sky, and I shall see him by and by. F. Okay. He rose a victor o'er the grave. He lives exalted now to save. He lives to plead my cause on high. He lives to guide me with his eye. He lives to bring me to the sky, and I shall see him by and by. On Calvary my Savior died, wherefore my sins he bled. He rose and I am justified. He lives who once was dead. He rose a victor o'er the grave. He lives exalted now to save. He lives to plead my cause on high. He lives to guide me with his eye. He lives to bring me to the sky, and I shall see him by and by. Now high above the highest heaven, he's seated in my stead, and grace for all my need is given. He lives who once was dead. He rose a victor o'er the grave. He lives exalted now to save. He lives to guide me with his eye. He lives to plead my cause on high, and lives to bring me to the sky, and I shall see him by and by. Well, I have an announcement. Please announce Saturday night. I'm surprised that we have this already. Brother Eric is already working on this for us. This is special for the men. Third Annual Men's Fellowship Retreat at Star Lake Lodge, New Jersey, Friday and Saturday, January 14 and 15. More information will be mailed and emailed by early October, but save the date, okay? Save the date, January 14th and 15th. If you're interested in coming to the Men's Fellowship Retreat, don't let anything else get in the way on those days, okay? January 14 and 15. Grace for all my need is given.